The series that we are starting from today is entitled Back to Church. That's right. Back to church. Back to church. We're going to be on this series this whole month of June. God is going to help us. It's all about understanding that even in the midst of a pandemic, the church has to move on. Even in the midst of a pandemic, God still has something to do with his church. And you're going to be blessed by this series mightily. So we're going to go straight into the word of the Lord this morning. The first thing I want to make you aware of this morning before we go any further is that there is nothing new under the sun. There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. I know the name coronavirus maybe is the first time we heard such a name and such a virus. But as far as pestilences and as far as pandemic and as far as viruses are concerned, this is not the first time. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9, history merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Nothing under the sun is truly new, including the lockdown we are going through right now. The Bible says history merely repeats itself. So if you go throughout history, you'll find out that this is not the first time the world has gone through a lockdown. And this is not the first time we've experienced a pandemic. And this is not the first time churches and businesses have had to close down. It's when you are not a student of history that you would think that this is happening. It is the first time for us, our generation, we've had never had something like this before. But there is nothing new under the sun. So what is a surprise to you and me is actually old news for heaven. Meaning God has already gone through something like that before and heaven is aware of it. And that is my encouragement this morning, is that whatever you are going through, always remember, no matter what Satan tells you, especially that you are the first to go through it, never believe it. Because the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Whatever you are going through, somebody else has gone through it before you, or it has happened before it happened to you. And if you can just go back and check, you will realize that if they overcame, you too can overcome in the name of Jesus. Praise God. So when we realize that there is nothing new under the sun, meaning coronavirus is nothing new, what I want you to be aware of is that if there is nothing new under the sun, it means you don't have to die from anything that you are going through. The key to survive is to adapt. Adaptability is the key to survival. This is how Paul puts it in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 12. He says, I know how to live in almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. Whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Paul says, I know how to live in almost nothing. And I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. What that means is that there is a secret in every situation you are going through. There is a secret way to live in every situation. And I'm sure you have seen how your church, ABC, has survived this situation of a lockdown by learning a new way of doing church. We didn't sit down and say we're going to wait until the church buildings reopen for us to be able to have church. We adapted our system with church online. We've had to learn to connect every Sunday morning, just like you are doing this morning. I'm in the church building where I usually meet you with, but you are not here with me. You are right in your house, but you are connected with me. Because we have learned to adapt. Hallelujah. And what I want you to learn this morning is that if you can learn to adapt, you will survive 1,000 times. If you can learn to find another way of doing the same thing you are doing, you will survive when other people are going down. And that is my prayer for you. Many, many, many people right now are struggling. Or some are excited because at least today, churches have been allowed to reopen. But how about those that have had only the chance to see their pastor the last time in April? And today, this morning, is the first time they get to see their pastor again because they could not adapt to technology. I'm glad that God has blessed us with a church that can adapt to the times and the circumstances. And my prayer for you is that even as an individual, you too will be able to adapt to the times and the circumstances. So I've got 7 lessons that I believe this lockdown has taught me personally. You know, when we talk about adapting, I've seen 7 things that this lockdown has taught us. Number one, we can live without certain things. In these past 3 months or 2 months and a few days or a few weeks, I have learned the lockdown has taught me that I can live without certain things. We have all realized that certain things that seem to be so important are not that so important. Some of you were you managed to survive without KFC. Did you die? No. Some of you managed to survive without chicken licking. Did you die? You didn't die. Praise God. And many people discovered through this lockdown that you can survive not smoking. Smoking, cigarettes were not allowed to be sold. So even the highest smokers had to survive. You didn't die. I didn't hear that one person died because they couldn't smoke. Many people survived not drinking. Alcohol was not allowed. Nobody died. Rather, people saved money. So the lockdown has taught me that I can survive without certain things. And I believe you can agree with me this morning that certain things that always speak such a loud voice, they speak so loud to our ears. This lockdown has shown me they are not that precious and they are not that necessary. Number two, you can live without certain people. I'm sure you've also discovered through this lockdown that your boyfriend is not as precious and as important as you thought he was. Some of you that used to say, I cannot live one day without you. Hello. You have survived 3 months without him. 3 months without him, you are still alive. It is a message to you that you can live without certain people, my friend. You can live. It is not the end of the world if there are no more in your life. You can survive. You are a survivor. Paul says, I have learned to live in every circumstances. I have learned the secret of adapting myself to all kinds of circumstances. Another thing that I have learned in this lockdown is that the world will not disappear because you didn't go to work. Yeah. Those of us that made our jobs our idols was as if your job is everything. My job is everything to me. You have now discovered that you can be at home for 3 months and the world will not fall apart. Yeah. That is a big discovery I have made. That things will not die just because I'm in the house. The day I came out of the house, things were still moving, you know. They had not stopped. The sun didn't stop shining because I was in the house. No. Everything continued just normal. And you see, it has given us a taste of death. Because when you and I leave this world, I'm telling you, nothing will stop. Things will just continue flowing. That's why the Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Because after you have gained the whole world, you're going to lose the world and you're going to go down and lose your soul as well. And the world will continue. When you go down, you are not going down with the world. So even the world you have gained, you will still leave behind. That is something I have learned in this lockdown. That a whole lot of things can continue. Even if you and I don't even go to church, church can continue. We have been able to continue with church. Church didn't stop. It didn't stop. Number four, I have learned in this lockdown that family is important. I promise you, I did not realize how important my family was until I found myself locked in with them every single day. And talking about family, you will also agree with me that you've discovered that your siblings are not as bad as you thought they were. Eh? Some of you who used to think that your elder brother is such a useless person, now that you have had to be with him for 3 months, you've discovered that he can also be good company, you know, just in passing. And you've discovered that your parents are not as bad as you thought they were. Ah, they can talk with you. I found myself playing tennis with my son, and he discovered that his father can play tennis even if I can't fight against Rafael Nadal and all of those guys, but I can hit my small ball there, you know, small. So your family is important. Why? Because when you find yourself in the lockdown, you are not locked down at work. You are not locked down in your job. You are not even locked down in the church building. You are locked down in your house with your family. That tells you that family is important. And we must value family. Because they were with you for 3 months. Or they are still with you. Actually, what am I saying? Many of them are still with you. Those of us that haven't gone back to work, they are still with you. I haven't seen my colleagues for 3 months. But I see my family every day. I haven't seen some of you for a very long time. But I see my family every day. So it shows you that your family is important. Hallelujah. Number five. I've learned also that God is no longer essential in our society. I didn't know that God was not essential. And I know some of you will say, but Pastor, we didn't say God is not essential. We just say that for a while church was not essential. No, God is represented on earth by the church. And for the mere fact that we needed to come to level 3 and we needed to appeal for the church to be allowed to open, it shows us that the place that God has in our society is not as important and as essential as we thought it was. I didn't know that myself. Until the lockdown came to reveal to us that the church is not viewed as an essential service. It says a lot about God and the place that we put God in our society. It says a whole lot. My prayer is that through this lockdown, we will rediscover that God is not one of the things that are important in our life. God is the most important person in our life. The Bible says, seek first. Seek first. You shall have no other God beside the Lord your God. But in our society today, so many other gods can come ahead of him. That is what I have discovered in this lockdown. And I believe that you are also seeing the same thing. You are also seeing the same thing. Number six, I've discovered that my ABC family is an integral part of my life. This church, ABC, I didn't realize the place that ABC was playing in my life until I found myself in this lockdown. You know, sometimes you need to lose something to realize how precious it is to you. I didn't realize that going to church every Sunday morning was that important until I couldn't go anymore. I didn't realize that not seeing my brothers and sisters every single time or every single week was that important. I didn't know. So I realized that ABC or any other church that you are a part of, if you are watching from another church, any church you are a part of, church is an integral part of our lives. And that's why some people could not take it anymore. They started demonstrating and saying, the church must be essential because it's an essential part of our lives. Hallelujah. Then the last lesson I have learned in this lockdown that it is hard to become a strong Christian without fellowship. It's very hard. And I'm sure you will agree with me right at home that things are not the same ever since you entered that house. Yeah. Your Christianity, many people, their Christianity is no more working. Simply because they have been cut from fellowship. Fellowship is very important. Our elder star says Sunday morning, I want to be a strong Christian who loves the Lord with all my heart. And you will notice that some people, the love of God, which we have been teaching the whole 3 months, the love of God has grown cold. Because of what? Not because those people don't love God, but there are other influences. And let me tell you something. I thank God for church online, but church online can never ever replace church on ground. Church online can never ever replace fellowship. Hallelujah. So this morning, our series, like I said, is entitled Back to Church. Back to church. Please, this is the hashtag this morning, back to church. Tell the person next to you, we're going back to church. We're going back to church. Hallelujah. So let me explain to you why I'm starting the series like this because I know some of you are not feeling ease to get back to church. That's why this morning I'm in the building alone, just with a few people, to tell you that we are coming back. Yes. Now, let me tell you something. We have learned a lot of things from the lockdown. But like I'm saying, this last one, the lockdown has shown me that without fellowship, there cannot be a proper church experience. As a matter of fact, the lockdown is killing the fellowship. Yeah. That is the main problem with the lockdown. The lockdown is not stopping the preaching. You've been able to hear me preach. Watch me preach. The lockdown is not stopping the prayers. You can pray from your house. But the main thing, the lockdown is not stopping Holy Communion. We've had Holy Communion in our homes. You can have it in your house. The main thing the lockdown has taken away is the fellowship. What is fellowship? The coming together of the brethren for the strengthening thereof. Coming together. There is a power that is released when we come together. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 34, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, that is the preaching, and to fellowship. Fellowship and sharing of in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayers. So you see, in those four things that the early church was doing, the only one that you can do at your house is fellowship. I'm not talking about the fellowship of you and your family members. You also have another family, which is the spiritual family. Hallelujah. And we need to meet together. Even praying together is not the same as praying in your house. Let me tell you something. I'm very honest with you. The next verse says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. You see how fellowship was even leading to the performance of miracles. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Brothers and sisters, there are no details in the Bibles that are just there in passing. Everything the Bible tells us has an important role to play. You must understand that when we come together, there are things that God can only do when we come together. When we don't come together, certain blessings will not be activated. Now, it takes me this morning to give you seven reasons why it is important for us to rekindle the fellowship by starting coming together. I want to give you seven reasons why we need to rekindle fellowship. I know we've been apart for almost 3 months. Now, we need to now start coming together. And I know I can't just call you and say, come to church. I want to start teaching you first on the importance of coming together. Hallelujah. Reason number one why we must come together is because President Cyril Ramaphosa has authorized us to do it. When I'm saying to you that we need to start looking at coming back together, I'm not doing it against the law. It's not against the government's regulations. It has been authorized. Are you listening to me? So that is where I want you to start. You need to realize that I'm not leading you to rebel against the law here. This is what has been allowed. The president came on TV and he told us that churches can be allowed to reopen. And that's why I'm back here. Hallelujah. But I don't want to be here alone. I want you to join me here too. And I want you to join in the branch where you are. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. The second reason why we need to rekindle the fire of fellowship is because God commands us to not neglect fellowship. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, the Bible says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You see, the Bible says that the day of Jesus' return is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. And the pandemic has shown us, I mean, this is something I've been around for a while. It has never happened before. And it has never happened for, we can even go back like more than 100 years. Something like that has never happened for a long time. Yes. Don't you realize that these are signs? That he's coming closer? And the Bible is telling us that let us not neglect. That is a sin. The sin of neglecting. Neglecting means you don't value. You don't think something is necessary. You don't think something is important. Let us not neglect meeting together. Now, I'm not suggesting that you are neglecting fellowship. No. I know we're all at home because we had to be at home. But I'm not coming to teach on the fact that we need to not get too used to it, that we forget that we need to get back together again. Praise the name of Jesus. The reason number three, because many believers cannot afford church online. That's a fact. The message I'm preaching right now, a whole lot of people don't have access to it. And there are many reasons for it. Number one, not everybody has a smartphone. Number two, even those that have smartphone, not all of them have data. When they have a smartphone and they have data, some don't have good network. And some of those issues are not issues that you and I can control. And some churches, by the way, it's not just believers, also churches, some churches can't afford church online because maybe the pastor does not have the equipment to do it. And for the past 3 months, some Christians have been unable to even see their pastor or to even hear him. You need to think about it. We thank God for ABC that we managed it. Immediately it was cut. We were back here. You could see us. But how about those who couldn't? Just think about them. Let us not just look at ourselves. Let's look at everybody else. What's going to happen to those people? What if this situation goes for 5, 6, 7 months? What's going to happen to them? So we are praised, and I mean we applaud the president's decision to open the churches so that at least under the regulations that he has given us, some people can start meeting. People can start reconnecting. Hallelujah. Reason number four. The reason why we need to rekindle the fire of fellowship is because 59 verses of the Bible cannot be fulfilled until we come together. I have counted them. There are 59 scriptures that you and I cannot fulfill unless we come together. So if we don't come together, 59 verses will never be fulfilled. And they will never be applied. They are all part of what we call one another. The Bible says, be at peace with each other. Watch one another's feet. How will you wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet from your phone? Okay, here are my hands. Wash my hands. You can't wash my hands like that. For you to wash my feet, for Jesus to wash his disciples' feet, Jesus had to be in the same building with them. The Bible says, love one another. For me to show love, I need to be able to connect with you. Do you see? Be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, instruct one another, praise the name of Jesus, come eat together with one another, have equal concern for each other, serve one another, carry each other's burdens, bearing with one another, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, speaking to one another in psalms, submitting to one another, do not lie to each other, bear with each other, teach one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, build each other up, spur one another towards love, do not slander one another. Look at all of this. One another, each other, one another, one another. God knew that there will be fellowship, and as a result of fellowship, he wrote 59 laws of one another. Not laws, but verses that are dealing with one another. Love one another. You know, and then the last one says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, I know because of, obviously, the current situation, we can't even apply this one, even if we come together. But it shows you that God made provision for people to be together. All these 59 verses are dealing with one another, one another, one another. And one another is all about fellowship. Live in peace with one another. If you are in your house, I'm in my house, how can we apply this live in peace with one another? Because there must be a place where we are together, and now there are frictions, and we need to try to live in peace. I hope you are understanding what I'm teaching so far. Now, reason number five, why we need to rekindle the power of fellowship is because Satan fights fellowship with all his strength. Satan fights fellowship more than anything you can imagine. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 18, the Bible says, Paul is speaking. Paul says, for I wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Paul wanted to go and have fellowship with the Thessalonians church. Many times he tried to do it, but Satan was blocking him. There must be a reason for Satan to keep blocking somebody to go and fellowship with other people. I mean, it's not just for fun. It's not just to display power. When Satan was standing on the way of Paul to go to the Thessalonians church, he knew that if they can see him, if he can be in their presence, something is going to happen. And he was trying to stop that from happening by blocking the way of this fellowship. And I can tell you that for the past 3 months, Satan has done a lot of work in blocking the fellowship. Even right now, many believers, listen to me, many of us that are watching, you don't mind going to the mall. You don't mind going to spa. You don't mind going to the hospital. But you will have a problem going to church. Yeah. I mean, what could be more shocking and surprising that we have been saying that church must be essential? And now the church has been made essential. And the Christians that were saying the church must be made essential, they are the same ones that are now saying, no, I don't think we should go to church yet. It's not safe. But the people that are saying that it's not safe to go to church are going to the mall. The same Christians that are saying, no, we must hold on a little bit. It's not right for us to take the people to church now. But the people that you are saying they shouldn't go to church now, those people are going to the mall. Those people are going to every other place. They are going to work. What are we saying? It is a strategy Satan is using to block the fellowship. That the same person can go to the mall and it is okay. The same person can go to the police office and it is okay. The same person can even go to work and it is okay. But for some reasons, that same person cannot go to church. Can't you see that there's an enemy at work here? There's an enemy at work. First of all, even for us to be allowed to have church in level 3, we needed to write letters to the president, because when the regulations came for level 3, the churches were supposed to remain closed. Meanwhile, the taverns were allowed to open. Can't you see that something is wrong somewhere here? I mean, what type of social distancing can be in a tavern? What type of people, after you drink 2 beers, do you still think of social distancing again after you have drank 2 beers? But in the church, people are responsible. Even the beer they drink is desensitized. Like their minds are brought back to normal. So these people can actually follow the regulations. But guess what? The churches were not allowed in level 3. But the taverns were allowed. We needed to call the president, write letters to the president. My bishop wrote a letter, an open letter to the president. The same day he opened the churches. Can't you see that something is not just right with this whole thing? The Bible says, I, Paul, wanted to come so many times, but Satan blocked the way. May Satan not block you from going to church. That's why I'm teaching you from today, that do not think that churches is just, it's not for fun. It's very important. It's very, very important for you and for me. Hallelujah. Now, reason number 6, because without the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Without the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Matthew 26, verse 31, the Bible says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will fall away on account of me. This very night you will fall away on account of me. So Jesus was saying, this night, men, you, all of you here, you will fall because of me. He was talking to his disciples. The disciples, their shepherd was Jesus. And Jesus knew that this night I will be arrested. And the moment I'm arrested, you will fall away. I will not be surprised, even if some of you that are watching me right now, you've fallen away. Even if it's not physically, but inside, you've fallen away. Many people have fallen away. Why? Because you can never undermine the presence of the shepherd in your life. When your shepherd is not there, listen, Jesus didn't say, tonight I will die. He was just going to be arrested. So they will not have an opportunity to be in fellowship with him. And because of that, Satan will take them down. So Jesus was still alive, but Peter fell away. Jesus was still alive, John fell away. Jesus, the Bible says, at the cross, they all deserted him. They all deserted him. And the Bible says here, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. I will strike the shepherd. Striking the shepherd doesn't always mean killing the shepherd. Striking the shepherd can mean causing the shepherd to not be where the sheep are. Once the sheep is alone, the sheep doesn't know what to do next. So don't tell me that fellowship is not important. So don't tell me that coming together is not important, because but while you are alone, you don't have strength every day. There are some days where you feel strong, other days you go down. I thank God for some of us who are in your house. You maybe you have a pastor or you have a spiritual authority, but a whole lot of people are just new Christians. They are brand new. They don't know many things. I mean, imagine people who got saved in the month of April. What happened to them? They fell away because they didn't have fellowship. And this is the shocking truth. From April until now, if I tell you today how many people God saved during this period, it's not a whole lot of people. I mean, let's face the truth. Let's not lie to ourselves. A whole lot of people haven't received Jesus. But that doesn't stop people. That didn't stop people from dying. Many of you watching me this morning, you got saved in this building. A whole lot of you. You didn't get saved in your house. Actually, as long as you were in your house, you could have never gotten saved. You needed to be removed from your house and brought here. And it's when you are brought here that you actually met God. Brothers and sisters, let us not undermine the power of places. God has a place for you and for me. And God has assigned a place for you and for me. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to give you my last reason why we must rekindle fellowship. Because, you see, reason number six is, if you take away the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Reason number seven is, because being with your pastor will make you strong. If you bring back the shepherd, the sheep will gather again. Hallelujah. Romans 1:11 says, this is Paul speaking to the Roman church, says, I long to see you. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Hallelujah. Paul said, I long to see you. I want to see you. No, I can write letters. Paul wrote a lot of letters. In fact, this was a letter. But Paul knew that the letter is not enough. I need to see you. Because when I see you, I can impart you. There is an impartation that takes place when we come together. When I see you and when I'm speaking and my words are reaching you and you can see me and I can see you, something starts happening. When you can see your pastor, when your pastor is in that place where you guys usually meet and you are there and he is there, something starts happening. Paul says, I long to see you. I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual blessings to you to make you strong. Do you want to be a strong Christian? Do you want to be a strong Christian that loves the Lord with all your heart? Then Paul is giving you the key. Paul says you need to be in a place of fellowship. You need to be near your leader, near your pastor. I long to see you. It doesn't say I long to write to you. It doesn't say I long to videotape you. I long to Zoom you. All of those things are okay. And you can see me. But seeing me through your phone is different than seeing me live. It's not the same. I promise you, it's not the same. It's never been the same. And this morning, I want to encourage you. Begin to consider going back to church. I started this service alone. But I'm doing this by the Spirit of God to make you realize you belong here. You belong here. We all belong to the house of God. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why was he glad? Because he knows something happens when you go to the house of the Lord. When you go to the house of the Lord, the same way when you go to work, something happens. When you go to the mall, something happens. When you go to the beach, something happens. The thing that happens when you are at the beach is cannot happen when you are in your house. Even if you simulate a beach, something happens when you go to a real golf course, which is different from you simulating a golf course with PlayStation. And something happens when you go to church. Yes, which is different from what happens when the church is in your phone. Very different. So church online has been a temporal arrangement which we're going to keep going. We're never going to stop it. But church online can never replace fellowship. No. Church online is in case. Just in case. And to reach other people, many people have been able to see us that we could have never reached had we not come online. But I promise you, what Paul is saying is, I long to see you. I long to see you. And can I talk to my members this morning? I long to see all of you. I long to see you. Because when we see each other, eyeball to eyeball, something will happen. Yes. Something powerful happens. God, Jesus told the disciples, wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he say to them, every one of you go to your house? The Holy Ghost will come and meet you in your house. No. They needed to meet him in the church. They needed to be in one place, all of them. So that's my prayer for you this morning, is that you will not allow anything to take away the power of fellowship. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, we have come to the end of our teaching this morning. I have given you 7 reasons. First of all, I gave you 7 lessons that the lockdown has taught me. And then I have given you 7 reasons why I believe we need to start going back into fellowship. And I believe that one of those reasons has touched you. Next week, we'll be here with a few people. Let me tell you something. Fellowship is not against regulations and compliance to the governmental regulations that they have given us. No, we're going to apply all of them. Face mask, social distancing, no hugging, sanitizers, hand wash. We already started those things, if you remember, a week before the lockdown. So we're just going to go back to that. But we cannot stay at home. Till when? Waiting for what? It's time. It's time to come back to the building. And we're going to arrange it in numbers, so it will be communicated to you with your pastor. How we're going to go about it. Next week, you must still be here. But after this, after next week, you must see us beginning to move to our different places. Why? Because of the 7 reasons I've given you. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about it so that you can learn and see the power of fellowship. The power of fellowship. Right now, I would like to pray with somebody who is saying, Pastor, you know what? That word is for me. I want to see you one day, and I want us to fellowship together. But right where you are, we also know that there's no distance in prayer, and there's no distance in the spirit, and there's no barrier in the spirit. So right where you are, I want to pray with you. If you are saying this morning, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to belong to a church family. You're saying that belonging to a church is an integral part of our lives. I don't know that experience. For me, church is something I visit from time to time. Well, I want to move you today, not necessarily to the church as a building, but to the universal church of Jesus Christ, which is called the body of Christ. You need to be a part of that body. And if you want to be born again this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want me to help you, sure, I want to help you. I want to ask you to just close your eyes and to repeat these simple words with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the 3rd day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.